when we sing.
Heavily burdened, come to the cross. Isn't that a wonderful song? Can I get an amen to make sure this microphone is working? Because I had some glitches a little while earlier. I had to reboot this machine, boot everything back up. So again, the last time we had ourselves a sermon, my machine went crazy and the microphone messed up. The enemies were attacking. It just seemed like everything was going wrong. So it looked that way again, like it was fixing to start up. But again, folks, I am glad that you're here, and we're doing something a little different. I kept promising Rick and a few of y'all kept asking when you're going to do video. I kept waiting to buy a new camera. I bought a camera. It came in. It was broken. It didn't work. I had to send it back. I had to fight technical support. I had to deal with them for over a week and a half. They dropped the ball a few times, and finally it arrived today, so it looked like it is working. So again, we're doing something different. I know it's funny to see myself on the screen because usually I stand here just speaking to the microphone and watching y'all type in the room. So now y'all can see me for how I look. So if I break your monitors and cameras, then please forgive me. I don't look pretty. I'm just, I am what I am. So amen. But folks, again, you know my signature. It's been 3 weeks that we have taken a break. 3 weeks. Wow. And a lot went on in 3 weeks. And so I'm kind of gotten out of the groove a little bit, but it was a well-rested 3 weeks. It was needed. Kind of take a little break from this, but y'all know my signature opening. It's Friday night. You could have been elsewhere, but you decided to come here tonight or morning. Depends where you live. And those who will listen to this video later, depends on where you're at. But y'all are here thank goodness you're here. We got a few that's MIA. I don't know what's going on. Maybe they got the times messed up. Who knows? But we're going to go with it. So, folks, again, it's wonderful to see you. It's wonderful to be here for Friday night. And y'all heard me say this a few times, you know, yes, I am standing. Well, now you got proof. I am standing, unless I go sit back down and hide from it. But no, yes, I do stand when I present the Word of God. But those of you who seen it last week, I was going to have a message last week, but they had some, let's say, technical issues that came up. I had to postpone it, you know, not with the PC. Unfortunately, if you know something a little different, all this is gone. Now, it is growing back. But unfortunately, what happened, I was trying to dye my goatee with some stuff called Just for Men. Now, Walmart had it marked down 50%. That should have been a no-no. I should have said, wait a minute, 50% discount? What's up with this? But I bought it anyway and put it in there, and lo and behold, I woke up, I started having chemical burns all over my face. And I mean, it broke out in blisters. And I tell you what, the pain was horrific. So I had to whack everything off. I had some aloe plant, you know, I had to keep rubbing on it and the sunburn stuff, you know, to try to get it to heal. So that's why I didn't want to do it. And also I dyed my hair and my scalp was burning too. I thought I was going to shave this thing bald. So I figured if I was going to be bald, I didn't want none of y'all to see me bald. But unfortunately the hair made it, but the beard didn't. So that's what happens. Fred Saved by Grace was asking about it, but I guess I'm going to tell him later what happened. But again, you know, that's why I canceled it, and that's why now we're starting back up this week. So I did have a message for last week, but something else came up, and it prompted me to be led in a different direction. So, you know, and this is where we are at tonight. But the reason why I'm going with this message, because recent events has led me into this direction. And more so, many of my friends that I know, especially you here and also here in town, are having a hard time or facing some sort of difficult times in their walk with the Lord. And I'm pretty sure all of us right here now can agree to it. Look, we're having hard times. We're having a difficult times. We got a lot of things going on in our lives. Sometimes we don't know why. But I want you to know, my friends, my heart goes out to you. You're not alone in this. I do have a heavy heart, and I feel for you whenever I hear about your burdens, about your trials, or about your hard times. I do. I have a heavy burden for it. I have a heavy heart when I hear about it. And yes, I do pray for you. I pray for you often. I pray for you every day. And see, when I see you hurting, it also hurts me. Now, you might be saying, yeah, right, you know, sure. No, I'm serious, folks. When I see you hurting, it does hurt me. It does. And yes, we know that the world and its corrupt, sin-filled system seeks to destroy our very souls. But Jesus had great news. He reminded the disciples, and even us today, that he already overcame the world. Good news, folks. That's good news all around. Jesus told his disciples, and he's telling us now as we are considered his disciples, he overcame the world. So that's good news for us. That ought to give you great cheer. Look, I understand we got things that happen to us. But you need to be careful not to ruminate on those things over and over and over and over and over. Because all those things is going to do is bring you down. It's going to weaken your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's going to cause you to keep your mind focused on your circumstances, your problems, rather than you focusing on God. See, we got something greater in us, Jesus Christ, than this of the world. So, folks, don't let those things bring you down. We need to overcome the world because Jesus did and Jesus is in us, so we are overcomers. So he gave us the good news. And even before he died on the cross and rose from the grave as our sin substitute, in profoundly real sense, his saving work was already finished. That's right, folks, when he went to the cross, when he went to the grave, and then when he rose, his saving work, in real sense, was finished. He rose from the grave as our substitute. He rose from the grave to show us we have power. He rose from the grave to show us sin will not overcome us. You see, folks, his saving work was finished right at the cross. And that's why you hear us a lot talk about the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross. Everything that we're going to ever endure, everything that we're ever going to go through, it was all done and finished at the cross. We got a new life. We need to be focused on that new life. We need to be living that new life. And see, folks, it's not that it could have been left undone. You know, Jesus could have left a lot of things undone. But see, I want you to understand something. Some folks kind of got a little sense or thought to this. God is not restricted to time as we are. God is not restricted to time as we are. The world will not triumph over God's children in the end. We are victors. We have won. If you want to know why, go to the end of the Bible. It tells you we win. We don't lose. I don't care what you're facing in this earth right now. I don't care what you're going through. Look, I know life is difficult. But you, as a born-again believer, has won through Jesus Christ. We're winners. We have victory. See, along that path, my friends, however, there will be ongoing problems for God's adopted kids, without exception. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit because, folks, yes, the Bible does tell us we're going to have some problems. We're going to have issues. We're going to have trials. Jesus, in fact, said, look, you are going to have tribulation. There's no denying the fact, folks. It's all right here. Jesus told us it's going to happen to you. So why wallow in your self-misery? Why wallow in your pain? Why wallow in your circumstances? Why doom and gloom? Why, folks? There shouldn't be no why. We are overcomers. The Almighty God has told us we win. This thing we got on this planet, this house, this room, your room, wherever you're at, all the stuff that you're dealing with right now in this present life, folks, it's temporary. It's not going to last. It's going to go bye-bye. Now, obviously, if you're like me, no one wants to go out of their way to experience hardships. None of us don't. Oh, I'm going to decide today I'm going to have hardships. Right. Do we decide that? No. None of us decides today we want to have hardships. No. None of us wants that. We don't want to go out of our way to have it. Not me. I don't. I don't know about you, but I sure don't. So I think this is something I think we can all agree with, right? We don't want to go out of our way to experience hardship today or tomorrow if tomorrow comes. I don't think so. But those who are in Christ, look, those who are in Christ are still human. They're still human. And look, we're not exactly stoked about going through trials and pains. I'm not. We don't want to, but yet we are human. And look, they're not out there, you and I, we're not out there trying to add more hardships to our lives. We're not trying to do that. We're not. It just goes with the territory, folks. It goes with the territory of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. The truth, however, is there will be pain regardless of the path you choose. There will be pain regardless of the path you choose. It's a fact of life. So in the long run, being a follower involves infinitely less pain and struggles than rejecting God. Though the eye of faith, we recognize that fact and choose a different path than the majority. And what I'm trying to say there, folks, the path we choose, we have decided to follow Jesus rather than follow the things of this world. That's the path we choose. And if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to walk that path, be prepared. There is going to be a lot of resistance. There's going to be a lot of hardships. There's going to be a lot of pains. There's going to be a lot of trials, a lot of burdens. But as you remember, Jesus says, cast all your burdens on me. And the reason why he's telling us that, he took care of everything at the cross. We got to quit allowing our minds to be consumed in our circumstances. We must be transformed. We must be renewed in the heart. We have the living Holy Spirit in us, so there's no reason to keep dwelling on your circumstances in your past over and over and over. Ruminating on those things is only going to serve to do one thing. It's going to destroy you, plain and simple. It's going to ruin your relationship with the Lord. It's going to hinder your walk with the Lord. Because Satan does not need to attack you. Satan does not need to run after you. Because a lot of times we do the work ourselves. We do. So those of you who got the Bibles, and our dear friend Lisa, if the Bible box working, if you got your Bibles, we're going to Psalms chapter 55, verse 22. That's our reading scriptures for today. Psalms chapter 55, verse 22. Look what it says, and pay close attention to those words, folks. If you're dealing with something in your life, there's your answer. There's your answer. Look what it says. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit. Look at the last part, please. Write it down. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, why am I standing like that? Why am I standing like that? Why the Word of God says that? Because, again, you are a child of God, and you have the power of Jesus Christ in you. So anything that comes at you in your path and your walk will not move you. It shouldn't. The reason why it moves us, the reason why whenever these circumstances happen to us, the reason why it causes us so much problems, you want to know the reason why? Because we allow it. We allow it. We're the ones causing the problems. We're the ones that let whatever circumstances that hits us, shakes us, and moves us, and causes us to go cuckoo and bonkers and boo-hoo and everything. We're the ones causing the problem. Satan's laughing at us because he don't have to do nothing. Look, that child has already got their mind messed up on his circumstance because they lost their car, because they lost their job, because this and this and this. Boy, I mean, he's having a field day with us. He said, see, he's probably telling his cronies, look, I got nothing to do because they're doing it themselves. They are messing up their relationship with the Lord. He's laughing at us. Why do we give him the ammunition to do that? Because we're not backing ourselves, or we're not going to what we call having faith like that little bitty, tiny mustard seed. Y'all know the scriptures. If we have faith like a mustard seed, we can tell that mountain to move from here to here. Now, literally, it's not talking about going to a big mountain and saying, move! But the mountain it's talking about is the mountain you're facing in your life, if you got the faith. if you have the faith. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. We ask of you to help us right now at this moment of need. Father, we are facing trying times, and you already know this. But yet you tell us to come to you boldly at the throne in prayer. And Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you for listening to us. We thank you for allowing other brothers and sisters to gather together. We thank you for testing our faith. Father, we're not trying to brag. We're not trying to say, okay, yeah, my faith is strong, because I admit to you, you know it, sometimes my faith gets a little weak. But I have to thank you for being there step by step with me. And yes, God, sometimes I don't understand why these things happen to us in our lives. I don't have the answers, only you do. But what's required is faith from us. Faith to believe, to trust. So I ask of you right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, help these folks here tonight. Be with them, comfort them, sustain them. And look, I know sometimes they let their minds get the best of them and they're wondering why these things is happening to me. And I'm not trying to say, Father, we should say, well, you know, we're weak, we have an excuse and this and that. It really shouldn't be no excuse. But yet we do make mistakes. And sometimes we don't really fully trust you and what's happening in our lives. This is why we need to learn, okay, whatever it is that we're going through, we're just going to have to trust you. You got it under control no matter what. And I thank you for your love. I thank you for what Jesus did for us on the cross. I thank you for allowing us to gather together. Because I am reminded when two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst of them. Thank you for everything, and thank you for what you have done for us, and thank you for allowing me to have this day. I got out of bed today. My foot was on the floor today. I'll probably be going to bed tonight, and if I don't wake up tomorrow, then okay, you know what? I wake up in a better place. But if you do allow tomorrow, then I'll thank you for tomorrow. You know it's not promised, but I thank you anyway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now y'all get to see me drink water. Now y'all know the title of this message because, again, the bot posts in the room over and over every hour. But the title of this message tonight is When Life's Burdens Gets Heavy. When Life's Burdens Gets Heavy. I don't know about you, but to anyone who has experienced grief, or desolations, or hardships, and pains, and trials, and tribulations, constant attacks, we are told and commanded to cast one burdens on the Lord. And this should be refreshing to know we're told to do this. That's right, you are commanded to cast these burdens on the Lord. It's a fact, the Bible says so. The Lord is the one constant in life and the one true friend. He can always bear the burden for us. We can't. We can't bear our burdens, folks. Only he can. Only him. And with that being said, I want you to know something. I want you to know one important thing. And myself, it relates to this. Some of us experience more adversity and painful events in our lives than others. I wish I knew why, or I wish I could understand the reasons behind them. The Reverend Billy Graham himself said this once, and this is what he said: in all of my years of studies, teachings, and preachings, I still do not understand everything about God. That was a mighty great man. Preached for a very, very long time. A lot of wisdom about him. And yet he said he still does not understand everything about God. Nor will you. Nor will I. Wise words, folks. Those are wise words. And if you're like me, going through a battle, a trial, testings, hardships, or burdens, listen to this, please. Listen to this. All I can say is this. God knows what he is doing. God knows what he is doing. He has it under control. And if you're like me, yes, hey, look, I thought of this often myself. I did. And we wonder why our difficulties doesn't happen to bad people out there instead of us. Maybe I'm the only one that's admitting this to you. I don't know. But I have thought a lot, okay, why don't bad things happen to bad people out there? Why did it happen to me? I thought of that a lot. Why doesn't difficulties happen to bad people? That marble rolled around in there a lot. It has. Unfortunately, folks, life is not fair. Life is not fair. Now, we all know that Jesus said, oh, life was going to be easy. Right? We know that. Jesus said life was going to be easy. Right? Somebody's afraid to answer that? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Sorry, folks. This is not true. This is not true. Now, how about you? Now, we heard some other things, too, and I heard a lot. I heard some doozies in my ministry, too. We probably heard this one. Someone has told you, oh, Jim, just give it all to Jesus, and it will be easy. Give it all to Jesus, and it will be easy. Right? Nope, not so. Okay, here's this one. This is the best I heard, and many even said this. Just come to Jesus, and your life will become easy with no discernible problems. Just come to Jesus, and you will have no problems. Right? I wish that were true. I wish it was, but it's not. You see, all this sounds great, right? Doesn't it? Boy, it sounds good. Except, folks, that is a gross misrepresentation of what it means to be a follower of God. It's a gross misrepresentation of what it means to be a follower of God. What the Word of God really says. Now, pay attention to this. This is what the Word of God truly says. It's facts. Jesus said it. How so? Look at John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you, oh, look, pay attention. Here we go. Pay attention. In the world, this world, you will have tribulation. Whew, what? Whew, what? Unfortunately, you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. See what Jesus is saying to us, folks? You want your source of power? Look what Jesus says. I have overcome the world. Now, if you notice, all those things I said just before that passage was nothing more than a false type of gospel that's peddled around the globe on a daily basis. More so in word of faith preaching, prosperity preaching, feel good preaching. That's where a lot of those comments before that passage came from. And folks, that is hogwash. I preach the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. And the truth, according to the word of the Lord, you will have tribulation. That's a fact of life. So why do you let it bother you? Christ already says he has overcame the world. So why are you letting the world bring you down? Why are you letting circumstance bring you down? Why are you letting events that takes place in your life bring you down? And for those of you who are new in this room tonight, folks, you may not know me yet, but the ones who are here, they know I speak truth because they know I don't beat around the bush. I tell it like it is. Sometimes newcomers come in here, when they hear the truth, they leave because they can't handle it. They can't handle the truth. They come in this chat room, and when I tell them the truth, they can't handle it, and they leave. Sorry. But truth is truth. But see, all that feel-good stuff, all those saying that everything's going to be taken care of, you're going to have an easy, it's going to be made. Folks, again, that is nothing but junk that is pushed across this globe and has done so on a daily basis. And all it has to do, nothing more than is being involved with what I call influenced by satanic influences rather than being spirit-led. All that feel-good junk is nothing but satanic influence and is not being spirit-led. If it's being spirit-led by the Holy Spirit, truth would be spoken. That's why a lot of churches, you know, when they get hardcore ministers like me, and I'm talking about the fire and brimstone type preachers, when they start preaching truth, the congregation doesn't like it, many walk out, a lot of times they run the pastor out on the rail. Pastor, we don't like your preaching. We don't care for that hardcore stuff. We don't care to hear some of that stuff that makes me feel bad. I want to feel good. I want to know I'm not going to have no problems. No, you can't preach that here in this church. That's not the way we are. Really? Good grief. You see, I know one friend who says this, that whenever he gets involved with new pastors and they say, oh, I'm a new preacher today. Yeah, I come to this neighborhood. You know, hey, I want to start preaching. And usually this direct admission, he usually asks those preachers, okay, you're a new preacher, right? Oh, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, first thing I want you to do, I need you to go to the hospital and get an x-ray. Say, what? Get an x-ray? For what? Well, I want to see if you got a backbone. Well, you're talking about that's getting hit between the eyes. But that's the problem with preachers today. They don't have backbone. They don't want to preach the truth. They want to preach something softer. They want to let you know everything's okay. Well, that's not me. You see, all that crazy nonsense about, you know, give it all, do this and do that, do this, 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 this. It is a conflicting notion that all is telling you that you can do what you want to do and not what God wants to do and live on your own terms. That's all it's preaching. Do it your way. Yes, from a human perspective, comfort, security, at all costs, does make sense. It does. But from a faith center viewpoint, making life about easy living amounts to missing God's will for your time here on earth. Listen, folks, Jesus made it very clear in the Gospel of John. He made it very clear that the disciples would have trouble in this life. All of God's children can expect the same exact thing. And yes, awful things do happen. Dreadful circumstances or tragedies will affect most of our lives at some point or another. Yes, it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel sorry for yourself and your circumstances. It's okay to mope around or to get angry. Look, we all done it. If anyone's in this room that says they had not done that, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're a liar. We all done it. We all done it. But at some point, oh, wait a minute. See, I didn't get no amens on this one. Man, Jim, I don't like what you're saying, brother. You're making me feel uncomfortable. Well, I should have got some amens when I said that, but okay. But look, at some point, you must shake it off. At some point, you must shake it off. Let go of the past and choose not to let it consume you entirely. Otherwise, you won't be able to learn from the experience you encountered and move forward in a constructive way. If you don't shake it off, you're not going to learn. You're not going to learn in a constructive way. Sorry. You see, folks, when we are faced with burdens and hurts and hardships and trials and pains and tribulations, we can do one or two things. One or two things we can do in that part of that circumstances we're dealing with. The first thing we can do, look, we can quit, give up, and just run away. That's right. That's what we can do. A lot of us wants to at times. Or the second thing that you can do, and this is hard. The second thing that you can do, just trust God no matter what. Just trust God no matter what, because this too shall pass. Now, if I was able to grab my camera, I'll show you on my wall right there. I got it right there. In big old black and white letters, this too shall pass. Now, in knowing all of this, when we are faced with heavy burdens, we must be very careful of the dangers that can happen to us if we allow it. See, if we're faced with heavy burdens, we must be very careful of the dangers that can happen if we allow it. If we allow it to happen, this is a trap that many people do and fall into and get sucked up and swallowed up in it. Because they allowed it. So what happens when people are faced with hard times and burdens? What happens when they allow it? Well, two things can happen, but it's three things that we can actually do. The first thing that happens when someone's faced with a burden, a trial, hardship, pain, difficulty, whatever, some turn to self-pity. Whenever someone's faced with a hard time in their life or a difficult moment in their Christian faith, many turn to self-pity. You see, when faced with difficult times, this burden causes us to fall into a self-pity mode. Friends, this is a choice, and it's a bad one. Why? Well, when we fall into depression of self-pity, we allow it to take control over our lives. We become completely self-absorbed. Folks, this is destructive to dwell on negative events and carry that bitterness and resentment forward. When we do so, we tend to keep our focus on hurt, and we aren't focused on taking control of our lives God's way. If we blame negative circumstances for our place in life, we are giving up the responsibility and the control of the Holy Spirit's way. And then when we do that, when we get into a self-pity mode, self-pity depression, then we start to whine. You want some cheese with that? But we start to whine and feel sorry for ourselves. Self-pity is just a form of selfishness. It makes us less aware of the needs and suffering of others. Our own suffering is all we think of. It's all we think about. It's all we care about. We care about our self-absorbed state, nothing else. We can choose to spread our misery among other people, your family members, church members, whatever. You can choose to do that in your self-pity mode. Or you can choose to rise above our circumstances. You can choose to rise above your circumstances. How do we do that? Everything that you need to combat anything that you are facing is in the Word of God. Everything. So how do we rise above our occasion? Well, look what Isaiah has to say about that. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. Look what he says. He gives you the information you need right there. Look what he says. He says, "For I, the Lord, your God, holds your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." God's holding your hand while we pull him back and let him go. Here, Lord. Here. Yes, it's hard at times. But what Isaiah just told us, that we need to remember that one day God will bring all his faithful people together. We will need not to fear because of several things, folks. We need not to fear because of several things. One, God is with us. Can someone give me the other name that says that in the Bible, if they can think of it? But God is with us, folks. And what he's saying by that statement, I am with you. Second, that God has established a relationship with us. Meaning, I am your God. Third, God gives us assurance of his strength, help, and victory over sin and death. Now let me ask you this. Are you aware of all the ways God has helped you today? Are you? Are you aware how God has helped you today? Or yesterday? Or the day before? Or the day before? Are you aware of it? If not, then keep what I just said in mind next time you are faced with a crisis in your life. Keep that in mind next time you are faced with a crisis in your life. So the second thing that happens when we are laid with a heavy burden that many people do, some turn to false security. Some people turn to false security. So whenever a person is faced with a crisis in their Christian walk, many end up turning to something else besides God. Many start to think, well, I think I need to take control of this current issue, and I need to deal with it my way. God's not helping me. I prayed and 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 prayed, and God is not helping me. So you know what? I'm going to take control of it and do it my way. How you like that? Well, folks, let me tell you something about that one. As sinful human beings, it doesn't take much for us to get duped into believing that we somehow have our lives in control. It doesn't take much for us to get duped thinking we got it in control. Wow. There are multiple areas of false security where we place our hope in. Where we place our thinking in, like, yes, this will make me happy if I did it my way. Ooh. If only I had more money, we'll have peace. If only I had better friends, I will have peace, and then it will be easy. If I separated myself from the ones that's causing me problems, that don't agree with me, that's making my life miserable, and those who don't believe in God, and just be surrounded by Christian friends only, hey, then I will be at peace. False sense of security. The main problem with this, do you see it? Do you see it? Do you hear it? Do you hear the main problem with all this? See, when we go into that false sense of security mode of saying, if this, or if that, when we do so, we end up putting our security in a comfort into worldly pleasures, thoughts, and factors. And then, folks, it's smooth sailing for us. It's smooth sailing for us whenever we place ourselves into that false security mode. then we got it made. Until one day, life does not go our way. Then we realized at that particular time, security was not actually security at all. Well, if we do this and get into that kind of a mold, then we've been duped, bamboozled, the wool pulling over our eyes. I don't know if you're like me, you know, I guess I'm giving you some of my age, but I used to watch the Bugs Bunny Rogue Runner Hour. And who used to chase after the Rogue Runner all the time? Or am I the only one that used to watch that cartoon? The coyote, okay. And a lot of times that poor dude stepped into a hole, fell off a cliff, bought stuff from Acme in order to try to get the Rogue Runner. So he bought all these elaborate things, but he got duped into spending his money and what it cost him. A lot of hurt and pain. Boom, blowing up everything up. He never caught the Rogue Runner. See, when you start getting into that false sense of security mode, you've been duped. The fact is, folks, when you start thinking that way, you've been duped by the evil one's thought process. That's right. You've been duped by his thought process of those thoughts that he gave to the sinful nature in you, and that sinful nature started speaking to this. Jimmy, don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't listen to the Holy Spirit. I got something to tell you. You better get a reality check. Because that evil fool is only telling you something bad. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's not be duped, friends. Let's not. We all need to be aware of the areas that causes us somehow to believe that we are in control of our lives and call them out as falsies as they are. This, my friends, is the real danger of thinking this way. That's the real danger of thinking that way. And if you found yourself agreeing with some of the above I just said, then that's a great thing. That's a great thing, because it means that together we are becoming more aware how the elusive pity parties and false securities can be, and our awareness brings us to humble confessions before God. Because those things, if we are aware of them, makes us humble and come before God in our confessions to Him and said, Lord, help. Help. So what do we do when we're dealing with many problems in our lives? What do we do? Very simple. You heard me tell you this over and over. You've been here for almost a year now, many of you. You know how I preach and you know what I tell you. And I sometimes I get duped in thinking I'm going to handle it my way too, yes. But whenever you are faced with all kinds of difficulties in your lives, no matter what it may be, turn to point number three. And that point is, whenever we are faced with hardships, pains, trials, troubles, and tribulations, whatever it may be. Folks, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Sometimes you might say, well, Jimmy, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Well, I may not. But I've been through a lot of things myself, too. So whenever you are going through something, do what we should do best. In point three, turn to the Almighty God. Turn to the Almighty God. And the reason why I'm telling you this, when faced with trying times in our lives, we must do what Isaiah, he gives us another answer. We must do what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He gave you the answer right there. Plain and simple. And look what he says. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with the young. You see, folks, what Isaiah is doing right here, he paints the picture of a father who gathers the lambs with his arm. Is a description of the Father's love for his people. And with this love, by us turning to God for guidance, is something that all of us can do, even in the midst of our circumstances. Friends, look, God is still God today. God is still going to be God tomorrow. God is still going to be God the day after. God's the same. God never changes and never will. He is our refuge. He is our strength. Very present, he is here to help us in trouble. God isn't outdated. God is not uncaring. God is not impractical. God is timeless and loving and powerful. Now, we may at first, when facing intimidating troubles, feel unsure about turning wholeheartedly to God. Yeah, we may feel that way sometimes, but as we study the Bible, as we pray more, as we consistently learn how to commune with the Creator, to listen for His guidance, folks, then we realize that this is indeed the path marked out for you and I through Christ Jesus. That's where your identity lies in. Through Christ Jesus. When you realize that, then you learn how to fight these circumstances that hit you in your life. Don't go to no pity parties. Don't go to doom and gloom. Don't go to false securities. Go to the one who can do something about it. Folks, Jesus demonstrated the complete practicality and wisdom of turning to the love and goodness of God. Far from ignoring problems or simply looking on the bright side, Jesus proved that turning fully to God and to truth of his loving jurisdiction over man is the most realistic and effective thing that we can do in the face of any sins, sickness, hardships, or trials. Step by step, we can master that fear that would have us to believe that God can't really help us or we're too evil to experience his love. No, step by step, we can master that through faith in Jesus Christ. We can turn to God and receive the blessings this brings while continuing to put off whatever materialistic elements or thoughts that would blind us to his almighty care. I mean, strip everything, purge it, get it out the way. Quit trying to listen to all this crazy self-help junk. Or quit trying to listen to some call a friend who's not a Christian. Quit trying to go to these YouTube videos that offer all answers to your problems. You know, folks, you need to go to the real source, and that is the almighty God himself. Quit with your petty parties. Quit with your problems. Quit with all your hard circumstances. Quit worrying about everything. Go to God. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be a hard time in everything. But when you learn to surrender yourself to him, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't. But I trust you. When we turn to God, friends, we are able to sense the reality of his love. When we discover that in spite of appearances, we have not been cut off from him. We glimpse something of our eternal spiritual identity as his love and sons and daughters. He is with us all the time. We are never alone. So when I was hurting for you, when you were dealing with your burdens and everything else, I was thinking many thoughts about this message, about this. And when I started writing, I had to look at everything that I was writing here, you know, and I could not just stop it and leave it hanging at this. But I kept thinking, why must God's children suffer so much? Why does God's children struggle so much in their lives? Doesn't God care? And these are questions, my friends, that people has wrestled with since the beginning of time. Thankfully, that the Bible provides some solid answers as we wade through the hardships of life. And for those of us who are in a saving relationship with God, even though the scriptures warn us that Christian life won't be easy, the depth of difficulty we experience can sometimes be shocking even for the closest God followers. That's right, sometimes it can be shocking when we go through things. Facts is facts, life is life. By faith, we eventually recognize God still loves us despite the storms coming our way. And although this view rarely comes without significant struggles at first, in light of a perfect Father who doesn't always allow things to go as we hope for, but let us explore the flawed thinking we all struggle with before going any further in our walk with Him today. Let us explore that flawed thinking in our walk before we go any further. It just hit me like a ton of bricks when I was wrestling with these decisions, when some of my dear friends, I was seeing them going through so much and I was struggling. I was having a hard time. God, why? Why? Hadn't we suffered enough? And that soft little answer came to my head. No, you had not. Then, if God loves me, why isn't my life easy? Question is a common one for God's children to run to all the time and place all of their thoughts on. But if they are taking it too far in this thought process, if they are taking this, well, if God loves me, why isn't my life easy? And they keep on ruminating on that, then friends, it can become dangerous. The slow gravitation towards unbelief is a subtle one. And that, my friends, is what makes it so lethal. If you keep in that thought process, if you keep on, it's slow and subtle, and it's lethal and deadly. The most unbelievable lies do have some truth mixed in it. Yes, God does want us to be happy in the end. God does want us to be happy. The scriptures that points to that. Now, that does not mean that it does not mean, folks, that the earthly life is going to get to us. It doesn't. I wish it meant something else. I just wished it did. It does not mean that us in the pursuit of that utopia, earthly life, would be better. No. But God does want you to be happy all the way to the end. You see what happens here, my friends, while we fall into these traps? Satan himself has thousands of years of experience into duping people into a lie mixed in with some truth, and he knows what works, and he knows what doesn't work. He knows what works, and he knows what doesn't work, but he knows how to add some truth along with that lie. But the reality is, and if you think about it this way, the reality is that every earthly parent, those of you who had kids, has to give consequences for their child's actions. And sometimes that means taking desired things away or letting natural consequences play out. Well, in the same way, our perfect Heavenly Father disciplined His children. And that doesn't mean He doesn't do so only for the really bad ones. It means that every true Christian will be disciplined. Ooh, that's what it means. And this can be a tough one for many Christians to come to grips with, a hard pill to swallow. Much of this is because of our earthly parents were far from perfect, and some of them even were abusive. But in light of our earthly experience, it's difficult for us to wrap our minds around what discipline from the Heavenly Father would look like. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, what discipline will look like from Him. We think we know what it is, but we don't. We don't have a clue. You see, that the temptation is to go into the process fearful, jaded, or discouraged mode. That's what the temptation does to us. It puts us into those positions. But what we need to keep in mind, that God always disciplines His children for absolute good. Now, is everything that happens to us is a result of discipline? No, it's not. But they happen. They go through it. Make no mistake, God does want you to have a struggle and suffering free life. He does. He wants you to have a struggle and suffering free life. He doesn't want you to go through all that. But now is not the proper time for it. But it will quickly arrive. We won't deal with it no more one day. And folks, in a way, that gives us hope in the midst of a painful life that we have experienced. We know what Paul says, press forward, press forward, press on, persevere, overcome. The word just don't tell us just to do that. It's telling us to do that for a reason. You see, for millennia, God's true children have drawn hope from the thought of eternal life with their Savior and God. That's where our hope comes from. God. We hope one day we want no more. See, we and they long to be wrapped in His unconditional love, to be out of a cheap conditional love of this world. We want to be wrapped in the real love, not with the love this world has to offer. And folks, you and I can hold on to the same hope. Because of Jesus, we can enter into heaven with the right standing with God and never have to experience any more difficulties that we have to face here on earth. Because whenever, and you see me standing right now, whatever I am standing before my Lord and Savior, at least I know I am in my right standing with Him. We have hope. And when we are standing there one day, we never will face no more difficulties we did here on earth. So until then, I leave y'all with this. We live in the midst of suffering, trials, hurts, pains, burdens, and hardships, knowing as God's child that not a single shred of it is wasted by our perfect and loving Father in heaven. None of that's wasted. It's all done for the greater good. And with that, folks, He loves us, and He's always with us in every part of our lives. He's with us to the very end. Amen. Let's pray.